Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
So, we are drawing a conclusion to our harvest series. We have been in this particular section for literally 20 some weeks, so like 26, 27 weeks. And the entire series was our grow series, all right? And my objective tonight is to review, so I'm going to just some quick highlights that's going to launch us. So we're going to review, we're going to read, I'm going to render, and then I'm going to resource us. That'll make sense once I get to the end, okay? Declaration or the objective for this session. I actually wrote this down. We will go forth from this session seeing the Lord's plentiful harvest around us in our collective and individual context and with the necessary compassion required to deal with the Lord's harvest as the Lord would. To deal with the Lord's harvest as the Lord would, right? Now I'm going to help us on in our resources section, all right? So, in our review, previously in our harvest series, we began this entire series with Genesis 8:22, which says, it's not going to be on the screen, I'll just recite it. While the earth remains, there's what? Seed, time, harvest. Yes, there's cold and heat. Right now we're in the cold section, season, and summer and winter. Winter's upon us. Day and night, all right? And as long as the earth remains, these rhythms, these seasons, these things will not cease, right? So last check, earth is still here. We have some questions about some things, but overall, earth is still here, okay? And next review, yes, one aspect of harvest is reaping blessings and reaping the promises. Yes, we dealt with that with the promised land narrative. They were cutting up. God had something for them. They didn't want to do right. So that is one aspect. But at the beginning of this particular section, at the beginning of October, we learned that the premier harvest, and by premier I mean first in importance, is people. Okay? And we'll see that, and we return to that passage in Matthew 9 here in just a moment. After harvesting, there must be processing. After harvesting, there must be processing. This is still review, all right? And there is actually a term that applies to that in real life agricultural. We call that post-harvest handling, okay? So we learned about that from Bishop Designate Daphne when she taught us about wheat threshing, also for other small fruits and vegetables that grow in the ground. There is a washing process that's required, right? So whatever is harvested or retrieved has to go through its respective post-handling process, okay? Sometimes we will be sent to unprocessed people and places. Oh, my. I sense I have friends here in the room. I'm sure in Cyber Sanctuary you're nodding as well. but we have to remember when we go into those unprocessed places that, wait, I'm the Lord's laborer. Okay, so even if we're in process, right? So understanding that, okay, I'm the Lord's laborer. Lord, what would you have me to do in this place? So then, since we're the Lord's laborers, we ourselves must first be harvested. And then we have to continue to allow the Lord to process us. Then, that's a sequential word, so it means that something has to happen first. Then, the next thing that happens is we have the responsibility and must gain the skill to help harvest other people, help process other people. No flesh, that's sinfulness, can be a part of selecting or working with the harvest. No flesh, right? So the flesh can never respond as the Lord would. So we're not even to try to attempt to partner or approach any kind of flesh or any kind of means or any kind of sort of gain or any kind of thing that is not the Lord's will in dealing with his harvest. And then our last reminder is let us remain mindful that the Lord's harvest contains people who are distressed and dispirited. Sometimes that's us. And then we have to also remain prayerful in our approach and work with the Lord's harvest, which again includes ourselves. Okay, so all that was review. So please visit our YouTube page and skim through all 45 videos so you have quite a bit to peruse through there. It is cataloged for you. It is called the Grow Series. I checked, the playlist is up, so go do that. And now we are ready to read. So we are returning to our Matthew 9 text that again launched us into this portion of our series, Harvest, right? And as we look again to this people passage, we have to use our spiritual sight and also senses, because you all are listening to me. So as I'm talking, sometimes people get mental images. So use our spiritual senses to see that Jesus's years on earth is quite literally the pattern for our years on earth, okay? And so his years on earth, they were intentional, they were purposeful, and they were impactful, all right? So that is purposeful, intentional, and impactful. All right, so we are ready for our text, Matthew 9, 35 through 38. What I like to do is read it in its entirety and then go back and chew or chop up and, you know, break down. So we are ready to read, and you all can read along. I am reading from the NASB, so sometimes it helps if we read along. Plus, I like to, y'all talk back to me. So let's read. Everybody ready? Yeah. We're starting with verse 35. Okay, let's go. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Verse 36, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them. Why? Because the people were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Okay, so it has painted the scene for us. This is sad. Verse 37, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Verse 38, therefore beseech, or urgently, or strongly ask of the Lord of the harvest to do what? Send out workers into whose harvest? His harvest. Okay, so verse 35, so we read that in its entirety, and now verse 35, just a few thoughts on these verses. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages. What was he doing? Teaching, proclaiming, and healing. That was foretold about him in Isaiah 61 and 1. And when Jesus arrives on the scene for his earthly ministry, he gets up in the synagogue, he asks for the scroll, and he turns to that very passage, which we can see in Luke 4 and 18. And it says, and it's not going to be on the screen, so I'll read it into your hearing, but it's correlating with verse 35 of Matthew 9. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to do what? Bring good news to the afflicted, okay? He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, okay? So we see Jesus in his purpose. Verse 35, we see summary verses like that elsewhere in Matthew. Actually, Matthew 4:23 is actually the verse that is behind our church name, right? Because it adds the phrase among the people or in the marketplace, all right? And also, so across all the gospels, we see that over and over and over again. So Jesus is locked into purpose and calling. He's out there doing his thing. No, not all of us will preach and teach and proclaim in the way, in this formal way, but we all have giftings, callings, and assignments and things that God has given us to do that work to accomplish his plans in processing his harvest. So he did everything he was authorized and anointed to do. So likewise, guess who also should be doing everything they are authorized and anointed to do? If you said me, you are correct. We are to do everything that we are authorized and anointed to do while, here's the key though, while not losing sight of the Lord's harvest, which is people. Oh my gosh, yes. I didn't really set that up, so I had to give it to you so you could get it. All right? People. Now, for some of us have callings where people are right there. Nursing and emergency responders. More often than not, you're going to rescue people from a burning building. You're not going necessarily to rescue, per se, the building. But you are going after people. For those maybe like myself or more administrative, we tend to lean and kind of can be task heavy, and we may miss, like, okay, I'm just trying to get this done. I have this deadline. Okay, you were supposed to do your part so I could do my part, but I completely missed the fact that, oh, wait a minute, something's going on with your mother. You're her primary caregiver, and that's why you couldn't get me your part, and it was late. And sometimes we can kind of lean in not being as compassionate as we should be. I'll own that. I'm working on it, all right? I'm working on it with the resources I'm gonna share with y'all, okay, at the end of this, because that's not okay, right? So I have to slow myself down and go, okay, wait a minute. And literally sometimes put yourself in someone's shoes or rehearse the details of their story. Go, wait a minute. If that happened to me, I might be in the corner somewhere rocking, not knowing my name. So the fact that they're even still present, that's, you know, praise God for that. So remembering that people is the Lord's harvest and not losing sight of that. So all, and we know Jesus, we read accounts of where he's going from one place to another and the crowd is pressing him and one person comes and he stops for them. And I would be like, but I'm trying to get to the place where I was headed, right? But he, being prayerful, being mindful, and understanding that it's people, even those in between the destination, that count as well. Okay? So that's verse 35 is like a summation of Jesus's ministry. And then verse 36, the very first three words give us what we need to hang on to. Seeing the people, right? So he's going about doing all these things. But wait a minute, he's seeing the people, right? A part of our, how we are designed is to be known. And a part of us being known is being seen and understood and valued and all of those things. You can't know me if you don't see me. So if you see me, then you can know me. And then if you can know me, then you can help me. And then all the rest. And it just goes on and on and on. So what I like about this in this verse 36, and as I prepare for this, I literally, this passage became my daily devotion every day. And it probably will still continue to be. Here's what came to mind when I saw this and read verse 36. Regardless of the what, and the what in verse 36 is that distressed and dispirited. We'll define those here shortly. Regardless of the what, Jesus sees the who. So regardless of the what, Jesus sees the who. And so, as the Lord's laborer, guess what? Guess who should also see the who and not the what, right? Us. Let us be like the Good Samaritan, right? We know that story. We're not going to go there, but for reference sake, it is in Luke 10, 25 through 37. I would recommend adding that to your notes. So again, the Good Samaritan, Luke 10, 25 through 37, that gives us the very picture, right? So some smart lawyer thinks he's going to trip Jesus up. Clearly, he didn't think that one through. And Jesus gives the story of the Good Samaritan who finds the man who's been beaten and literally left for dead, probably looking much like roadkill. It's the Good Samaritan who stops to help him, gets him to safety, takes them to an end and all the rest, right? So let us be like that. And furthermore, in today's age where we are kind of obsessed, where there's an obsession with numbers and followers and subscribers and members and all the rest, and those statistics and data, it's too often easy and to translate it as proof, big air quotes, proof, y'all see that? Proof, because I don't mean this literally, proof as one's importance, popularity, level of favor, but it can be all too easy to just see the number and miss the people, the person behind each number. Jewish theologian Martin Buber, that is B-U-B-E-R, lest we be confused with some other word, right? B-U-B-E-R, Martin Buber. He calls this the I-it relationship. So when we refer to ourselves, we are people, okay? So we, in the first person, we say I. But there's this tendency to sometimes refer to others as it. And this I-it relationship, so he has a whole book on these word pairs. And what he's describing in this I-it relationship is that when you have that mentality, you're treating other people as just a means to an end. I don't really see you, but hey, sure, if you're the one to help me accomplish what I need to accomplish, to do what I need to do, to make me feel better about me or some other thing, okay, yeah, sure, you'll do. Come on, all right, you'll do. But, and that, we, of course, we know that's not the way, right? Because that's not what the Lord does to us, and that's not what we should do. And so this is talking to people or about people, not with people, right? So when you're talking with someone, I'm even mindful of that to say, hey, talk to you soon. Well, no, talk with you soon. Even just that one little simple change of a word sets the tone that I'm going to speak, you're going to speak, which means that okay, whether I agree with not, okay, you have your opinion, you have your thoughts, you have your input, you have your contribution, and that's all well and good. And so I don't treat you like an it, so obviously that's not the ideal relationship. The ideal relationship is I, thou. Now, he's from a earlier time, and so we don't necessarily say thou, but I, you, right? But so that identifies the other as another person, like me. I'm a person. You're a person, you're a person, you're a person. And so this means that we are rightly seeing ourselves and each person as an image bearer of God, having dignity and worth, and we treat ourselves and them according to that irrevocable truth. That is an irrevocable truth, that we are made in the image and the likeness of God, right? That is in the book of beginnings, in Genesis, we see that. Genesis 1:27, again, will not be on your screen. I'll read it into your hearing. Genesis 1:27 says, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. So that means that each person we see, whether they know it or not, whether they believe it or not, whether they present like it or not, are image bearers of God. And so given the fact that we're the Lord's laborers and we know that, the burden of being the bigger person, I know, it falls to us. I know. Let's just, because sometimes you're like, no. But also no. Now here's the thing. I'll pause and say this here. Now sometimes you may have to take a minute, right? So maybe in the moment, just and do what you can do to safely remove yourself from the until you can, right? Treat them in that regard with that irrevocable truth that they too are an image bearer. And sometimes we've got to go to the one who made them, like, Lord. Get them. Now, Lord, you made them. Now, can help me out here, Lord. What's it doing? I need a little help. But that is our goal, the I-thou or the I-you relationship, right? So we are all image bearers. Furthermore, given that Jesus is the good shepherd. So he reveals that to us in John. John, the book of the Gospel of John declares Jesus's I am statements, right? So he's, I am this, I am the bread of life, I am the good shepherd. So given that he is the good shepherd, this influenced how he saw in this text and how he sees people, right, in our text. How does he see them? Like sheep without a shepherd. Well, if he's the shepherd and he sees them as sheep without a shepherd, he's like, wait a minute, they don't have me. They don't know that I'm available to them. Wait a minute, who's going to tell them? Who will tell them? Who will send them? Isaiah said, send me, I'll go, but who's going to tell them that there's a shepherd, that there is someone available to cover them, to keep them, to guide them? Because if you know anything about sheep, they're prone to wander and wander again, even to some of the same traps. I don't know if you all see this video that goes around where the sheep is like in a ditch and it's going through all it can do to, but it's burrowing down. Then the person finally gets out, and what does he do? He literally jumps right back in. Where's this baby shepherd? Because where's this baby shepherd? Because this baby just jumped right back into the very thing they were delivered from, right? So when Jesus is looking at all the people, this is what he's seeing. I'm seeing people who don't know yet that I am available. Okay, so likewise, we who are or have become good, bad, right, wrong, indifferent, who we are influences how we, number one, see ourselves. And of course, if I can't see myself right, I can't see you right. If I can't treat me right, I certainly can't treat you right. And it thus impacts how we're able to respond, if at all. Okay, so if you recall from the Promised Land narrative, the naysayer spies, I call them, says that we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. How are you talking for, how are you speaking for someone else? Number one, you said you saw in your sight. So biblical kind of picture of projection, right? To use a psychological term, call that projection, right? So you put on someone else what you really feel about yourself, and that's quite clearly what they did, right? Even out of their own mouth, so that's sad. So further in verse 36, we're still there, it says that Jesus felt compassion. Why did he feel compassion for the people? Because they were what? Distressed and dispirited. Whew. Now we're going to define these words. So when I look this up, distressed, weary, not on your screen yet, but when it gets there, you may just want to take out your phone and just, right, because I don't want to get stuck here because I want to get us through into our resources. But distress, and I'll read it aloud, take your picture, and I'm going to read it, and then you get in your mind who that might be. It might be you, okay. But it might be those in your context. So when we say the people were distressed, here's what we were saying. They were weary. They were worn out in strength, energy, or freshness. This is just, I don't have no more left. They were harassed, which is strained through having too many demands made on one. So they're only one person, but they have all the demands, right? So every area of life is pulling, 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 pulling. They are subject to aggressive pressure or intimidation. They are repeatedly attacked. That's not all. Suffering from, I'm like, as if that wasn't enough. There's more. Suffering from anxiety, sorrow, and or pain. So when Jesus looks out, he sees distressed. So I want you to right now call to mind individuals in your life and context that fit this description. And again, maybe it's you or us, ourselves, and write their names down. And again, if that includes you, write, put your name on there. Amen. Maybe you don't do it now, but just at some point do that. And then we'll deal with our next group of those who were dispirited. Again, should be a slide there. Take a picture, and I'm going to read it into your hearing. Get these individuals in your mind. Again, may include you. I hope not, but having lost enthusiasm, enjoyment or interest, and hope. They are disheartened, so literally without heart, without courage, without any get up and go. Thrown down, right? So when you talk about being thrown down, you're talking about something that's discardable. Like, I mean, it like the toy or that's broken, it don't work anymore. So we just, I mean, nobody's bothering with it. It's just thrown down, it's discarded, it's no longer of any importance. Again, big air quotes there. So again, when Jesus looks out, this is the harvest he's seeing. So again, call to mind these individuals in your life and context. And if it may be you, add you. And write these individuals down. And maybe there's some that's in both of these groups, right? And so far, we have a pretty bleak picture here. This is not looking too good. This is, we need some help here. Well, thankfully, there's some available. And it is in our next definition and word that says what Jesus felt for these individuals, not disgust, not, ugh, man, ugh, gotta deal with that, like, ugh, a mess. No, he felt compassion. And again, take a picture of this so you can have it. Compassion, to suffer together, to suffer together. And compassion, it is a feeling that is very, very close to empathy, to very close to sympathy, being able to feel what someone is feeling, being able to empathize. Yes, it is that, but it is also coupled with the idea that, wait a minute, I feel your pain literally, and I'm motivated to do something about it. So it's not just, oh, that is really, ooh. Yeah, that's tough. And sometimes that is helpful to get that affirming, like, okay, so it's not just me, this is a lot, okay. It's not just that, but it's, I feel what you're feeling, and let me see, there you go, okay. You've already talked to the Lord about how you can help that person, your mind is already going on a resource, like, what did you say that you needed again? How many, how tall, how this, how that? Because your mind is already going to work on how you can relieve that suffering, right? And so then you return to your list of names that you'll make or either have made, all right? And when you sit down and make it, here's what I want you to ask with these names, including yourself. How is the Lord leading you to have compassion on each of the names you listed? How is the Lord leading me to show compassion on each of these names, including myself? Right? Am I beating myself up because I made that stupid mistake and it, you know, I had a setback and now, and that was years ago and you're still kind of rehearsing it and oh man, if I could have just, and God has forgiven you, you've asked for forgiveness, you've done all the right things to be restored, whatever that looked like for you, but you're still kind of kicking yourself, so there's that. Then there's other individuals, maybe they have wronged you or they're just like, ugh, just kind of that for you, just kind of ick. Sorry, Lord, you know, sure. you know, Lord, but maybe they're that for you. And I'll say this, if you're not the one, because maybe it's not safe for you to be that one, I also recognize that, right, based on various factors, it's not safe for me to be the one to help restore you, then you just commit them to a prayer list and commend them to the Lord and pray that the Lord sends somebody. Lord, you got a laborer for that. It ain't me. But you got somebody for that. It's not me, but here's what I want you to do, Lord. I want you to restore them. May they know you and just begin to pray for their salvation in a real way, right? Because it's like, it's clear and it's evident by their doings that, yeah. So we pray for them, all right? So that's what we do. But I don't want us to miss, because sometimes We miss the fact that Jesus literally felt and feels our pain, like literally, But because he demonstrated compassion, there's a togetherness in our suffering, and it's not just any old body, but it's literally the Lord himself. Literally the Lord himself. And so this verse will be on the screen, Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. I actually like it in King James Version, right? V-E-R-S-I-O-N. King James says it like this, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity." So he gets the Lord, this hurts. He gets that. "But was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." Verse 16 is so good to me. "Let us therefore," which means that you got to get 15, understanding that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Because sometimes God can feel like he's way up there, way out there, beyond reach. God, you can't understand what this is, but he literally came from heaven to earth, laid all that aside, and lived this human experience and felt what we felt so that, yes, so that we could come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may what? Obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Yes. So when we see that Jesus is looking out and he's seeing the dispirited and the disheartened and the distressed, there's help available. I mentioned that earlier, all right? And so the Lord's laborers, we have the same responsibility to feel, number one, and healthily, I have to say that, healthily process our feelings, right? Which can lead to a more compassionate and gracious rendering of our labor to and with others, which is ultimately unto the Lord himself. Okay, so there's nothing like having experienced something yourself or allowed the Lord to let you feel the pain of someone else. You help different. When, right, it's not just like, okay, here, it's like, no, go slow. Again, guilty, right? Because I'm like, you know, all right, let's, and I have to often tell myself, slow down, wait a minute, you know, just don't move too quick, no sudden moves, right? Because most of you know I'm quite animated and da-da-da-da-da. And so there are moments when I have to be mindful of my movements, because you have someone who may be like literally like that for whatever reason, may not caused necessarily by me, but I don't want to trigger that. So just even being mindful of little things like that. So that's not, you have some like, I don't change who I am. That's not changing who you are. That's reading the room. It's like, read the room, you know, hello. Start reading the room. When you're with your friends and at the party, you can go back to your wild animations, right? Because at our gathering, I'm going to be loud. But there are, and will, especially if it's at my house too, I'm going to be loud. So, but you just have to be mindful, right? We call that a new term, emotional intelligence, right? So there's a whole thing with that. But these are the things that we can begin to do in addition to the word of the Lord. And again, when I get to the resources, I'll share some things. But that we can do to help ourselves. Like, I know me. So let me just see what kind of little things that I can do to just be helpful, right? To just even not be triggering. Even that is helpful, right? So again, with feeling, Jesus feeling our pain and us having the responsibility to do that, more evidence. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4, this will be on the screen. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who," verse 4, "who comforts us in how many of our afflictions?" All of them. Why? So that we will be able to comfort those who are in any, right? So he comes to my all so I can do any, right? With the comfort, me in these words today, Come on, Holy Ghost. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So let me say this, because I understand that there are levels to how, you know, when you're going through the level that you let people in. Let the Lord love you. Let the Lord love you. Receive the love of the Lord. Not that because we're trying to get you so you can go back. Yes, because we just read the text that said that, but receive that. Store that up. Store it up. Now you're going to have to dispense it as he leads you, but store that up, because it says that he's the God of all comfort. He's with us in all afflictions so that we can be with others in any affliction. There are some things that have come to me I have never experienced in my life, but these people have given me their stories, and I thank God for that sacred trust and the gift of their vulnerability in that regard. And I'm just like, wow, okay, Lord, I have not experienced that. But again, putting myself in that place, seeing them, right? They're an image bearer, they're deserving. Here's an opportunity, Lord, for them to know that you are with them, right? So like the scripture says, that he's with us through the valley of the shadow of death. Right, so when we withdraw and we hold that, we actually rob people of the opportunity to know that God is the God of all comfort. Well, if he was, then why he didn't come, you know, when this situation was going on and that situation was going on? There's actually a passage in Ezekiel where he says, I looked all the earth. I could find nobody to stand in the gap. I couldn't find no intercessors. I couldn't find anybody to stand in the gap on behalf of this people so that I could legally enter into the earth and come into their situation so that they would know that the Lord our God is one and with us, okay? So let that not be us, but let us take these verses to heart and really challenge ourselves again. I'll have some resources for us at the end that's going to help us. And because I know, I understand, sometimes we don't want to be that way, but our own circumstances have left us a little, like we got some residue, some remnant, some little bit of bitterness, nobody was there for me. I listened to a particular family member, and it took me a while to get here, because for a while I was just like, ugh, you know, they just, ugh. But then when the Lord calmed me down, because I was literally like, I had thoughts, right? I was like, well, Lord, if you want to take them, I wouldn't be sad, right? That's very dark. They saved, so I know they're going to be with the Lord. They just mean, so just go and take them. They, you know. But when the Lord calmed me down, I love them. I did, y'all. Y'all forgive me? Okay. These are my confessions. But I didn't stay there. Come on. I love the saints. The saints go. The word said, confess our faults one to another that we may be healed, all right? So, when the... It's tough. But I'm not there anymore. That was years ago. Praise God. See, you got to wait until it's a little... You got a little distance, you know. You can... It's not a fresh testimony. So now when I hear this... Because Lord, I had to clean that up. But now when I hear them talk, I really hear their pain. But you know how it comes out? Bitter, nasty, mean. But I'm like, no, that's pain talking. That's hurt talking. Years and years of it. And that's them, you know, maybe not receiving the Lord's comfort, help, and mercy. Maybe pushing themselves away from it, which I've actually seen them do, because I've tried to help, but they don't do that. No, when we was coming up, nobody helped us. It's just one of those, you gotta get it how you get it, even though you're sitting right there and can help, right? It's like, so you struggled, so you want me to, okay, all right. Fellowship of the sufferings is with the Lord, not with you. Can you help me out, please? Right? So those individuals, again, we have to just commend them to the Lord and really allow the Lord to help us with that. Because I had to call upon the Lord for that, and he has helped me. They are still the same, but what I notice is, and I hear other family members begin to say, well, They don't really talk until you come around. They don't talk to us, but they talk to you. So now I have this responsibility, like, okay, well, now I gotta get it so where they can be nice to other people other than me. Like, now I have this added responsibility of how do I leverage that for the other family members who are more present with them, because I can leave and go to my house and, you know, there's peace there at 8297, okay? Because we don't do the drama, right? So there's peace at 8297, so I can leave. They cannot. So now my prayer is like, Lord, how do I leverage them to, you know, be nicer to those that they are with more frequently even than I? All right, so moving on. So that was our reading. So that was our reading. We have reviewed. We have read. And now, as if we haven't already been doing it, we are ready to render. And now we look at Matthew 10 and 1. Matthew 10 and 1. And the actual title of it is Instructions for Service. So, I mean, if you didn't know what to do before, it's literally labeled right there for us. I love the Bible. Instructions for Service. Just one verse we'll lift up, and it's going to sound very familiar. So just give a listen, okay? Jesus summoned his 12 disciples, right? So he called a meeting. Y'all, come here. Come here, come here, come here, come here. And what did he do? Gave them authority over unclean spirits to do what? Cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. He gave these instructions to who? His disciples, his followers, those who have submitted themselves, yes, students of a master teacher, right? That sounds familiar. I wonder, where else did we see where somebody was going around healing every kind of disease and sickness? Jesus himself in Matthew 9:35. But that ties us back into his statement that, wow, you know, the harvest is plentiful. There is a lot of work to be done. But wow, we don't quite have the number of laborers that we need. So the very next verse, he's sending them out. Right? No delay. So we mentioned that compassion is to suffer with and to feel motivated to do something about. Well, this is Jesus doing something about it. He's sending out his disciples, right? And in case you think that that just means the 12 that he was talking to in 10:1, any person who has since come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has become a student and a disciple, and guess what? Has the same calling to be sent out. Right now, not without process, not without, right? So we saw that with our road to Damascus, Paul and his Damascus road experience being knocked off the horse, and he had to, you know, literally be brought low, literally knocked off his high horse, and go through process, and then he was able to go out. But because he submitted to that processing, he was able to give us 3/4 of the New Testament, writing 13 books. So all that was locked up in him. So once he was processed, all that now is released, and we refer to it often, and it's quite literally the instruction for our lives, the instruction for how we govern Christ's church here in the New Testament. So this Matthew 10:1 is instructions for service. So Jesus quite literally has given them the same power that he has. So notice how that verse, again, perfectly aligns with that Matthew 9:35. And so in this commissioning, he gives his disciples the necessary authority that he has over the unclean spirits. And remember our definitions of distressed and dispirited, right? We can do something about that. We have authority over that, right? So there is a name that is above every name, right? So if we can name it, that's why confession and all of that is good. Let's put a name to it because there's a name higher than that. Oh, it's anxiety. We got something for that. Oh, it's depression. We got something for that. It's occupational defiance disorder. We got something for that. Whatever name we want to come up with, there is something for that because there's a name that is above every name, right? And so we don't have to remain diseased. So I want you to hear that the way I'm saying it. Diseased, unsettled is another way to think about that. Because when we become unsettled, whether in our mind or elsewhere, it can literally, now it is disease, Now it literally shows up as a physical sickness in our body, changing the systems and the way that we're supposed to function, right? All because we have these things going on and we're subject to these unclean spirits, spirits not from the Lord himself, one such being fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but what has God given us? Power, love, and a sound mind. That's what God has given. So if we're not experiencing that, if we are seeing others not experiencing that, there's something about that that's not right. And we can help get them there, and even ourselves as well. So even if our physical body is not what it should be or could be again, our inner world, which is our spirit and our soul, can be, right? Which is the, well, I won't say it's a primary part of us because we need our earth suit to travel the earth suit. But we teach a lot often here about having a regenerated spirit and heart. And so once that is good, and like we confess before we preach on Sunday, our declaration, right, to receive the word implanted, which is able to do what? Save our soul. So the members of our soul, our mind, will, emotions, intellects, thoughts, all of that, everything that Jesus saw with those people, everything that we see here with disease and sickness, every kind, right? We have authority over that. And so continuing with our instructions for service, right? I want to jump now to Matthew 25, 31 through 40. And this is the judgment. So Matthew 10, 1, Jesus is sending them out. He's still on the earth. He's doing earthly ministry. But this is the judgment. This is when the earth will no longer remain. So right now we're good, right? The earth is still here. But this is the judgment of when God comes back to see what his sheep did with the relationship with him that they had. How is it that they helped harvest and process the harvest, all right? So we want to find ourselves in this portion because there's the sheep and then there's the goats. No, I did that wrong. This is the right. So let's put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left because that's actually how it is in the text, right? So we want to be the sheep on the right, not the goats on the left. And so Matthew 25, 31 through 40 says this, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them one from the other as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, who's on his right? The sheep, and that should be, ooh, yep, 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 yep. So to those he will say, come, you are blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I've been waiting. I had this set up for you. For verse 35, here's our key. For I was hungry, and you did what? You gave me something to eat. I was hungry. I was thirsty. And what did you do? I was a stranger, and what did you do? I was naked, and what did you do? I was sick, and what did you do? I was in prison, and what did you do? Then the righteous will answer him. Now, Lord, we're going to say it like that. Now, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in and naked? What did I miss? Did I miss something? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of these brothers of mine, for one of my harvests, people, persons, even the least of them, you did it to me. So it's not just the Lord's harvest, the Lord's way, but wait a minute, he is associating our outworking of our faith toward people with our love for him. He's connecting the two. He's not separating it, right? So we know when James tells us faith without works is dead, right? So what good is it if you tell me you have faith, but I don't have any, there's no record of help or there's no record of outpouring from that, okay? So now, thankfully, we have just enough time. I want to get us to our resources. So we've been in our primary resource, which actually is the Word of God. Y'all knew I was going. Now that's first. Now I got some other ones as well. But the very, very first resource in our quest to be the Lord's laborer, right, to do it the Lord's way. So, Lord, I need help. You're going to have to teach me how to, you know, because I didn't come from a family that really, you know, worked with people and talked things out. We just kind of, I mean, if you mess up once, it was, I mean, whatever. You got in my chili, and I didn't talk for you for 6 months, and da-da-da. True story. In my family, I was like, over some chili, y'all? Okay. Like, was it prize winning? I mean, like, what? Okay, like, what was the deal with that? Or you got so mad and you end up driving off from Florida by yourself. Like, y'all really just got so mad. Y'all couldn't sit. So if you didn't come from where people work through things, then this is for you. So the Word of God, both written and spoken. So do you have the resource slides? If not, that's fine. I'm going to continue to speak into your hearing. Also, revisit those sermons and teachings that challenge and inform the areas of your personhood and life that you know need to align more closely. I mentioned in the beginning that this entire growth series is all in a nice little neat collection for us. So you can go to YouTube, press that little with the multiple lines and the plus sign to go ahead and add that to my library because I'm going to need to revisit some of these things. Do that. And here is, as if we didn't already know, but just, you know, for sake of emphasis. Not too long ago, an 81-year-old woman, Jacqueline Avant, she was the wife of Clarence Avant, who was the executive and producer. He was, like, known as, like, I mean, making moves and deals for all these people. She, 81 years old, she was shot by an intruder in their home, and she later succumbed to her wounds. So her daughter, Nicole, has written this book that was from the last text message she got from her mother, Think You'll Be Happy. They were talking about a sweet potato pie. And so the book is called Think You'll Be Happy. To the question about how did you find that military-like strength in a moment when most people would be hysterical and falling apart because she's just gotten the call and now she's having to drive to the hospital with no details. All she knows is that, wait a minute, I just talked to my mother. I was scheduled to see her in like literally like 6 hours. And now I get a call that she's in the hospital and in surgery. What is going on? So to that question of how she had that military-like strength, here is what she said. All of a sudden, on a spiritual level, it was like I had been trained for the moment without realizing I had been trained for the moment. All of a sudden, all this scripture my mom had given me as a little girl and had given me all my life just came up. All this scripture that I had, it just came up. And I kept repeating, which means she had to do what? Give voice to it. So don't just hear the word, speak the word. So she says, I kept repeating, I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And if you need that, that's Ephesians 6:10. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all. So she's repeating these things. That's Philippians 4:13. These scriptures just burst through my heart without me being conscious. I felt the Holy Spirit just take over without me even asking. But it wasn't until I started speaking the word, and then I felt like the Holy Spirit was driving the car, and I prayed the entire way. So that is how she describes getting through that moment. Even though her mother did not make it from that encounter, it was the word that she had gotten from a little girl that had just been instilled in her. And then, like I said in the question, military-like training. That's muscle memory. That means that I'm preparing for war, not when war is happening, but outside of that moment. And so in that moment, speaking the word of God quite literally kept her mind, right? So our next resource, prayer. Got to pray with an understanding and in heavenly tongues, right? So Jude 20 says, by praying in tongues, we're building ourselves up on our most holy faith when we pray in the Holy Spirit, right? So what that does is we speak heaven's language, and so now we become the legal entry into the earth. So we literally bring heaven on earth to make that align with what the will already is on earth as it is in heaven. All right, our next resource, other laborers of the Lord. So there's somebody who does something well. For instance, my mom. Oh my goodness. You want to talk about like an earthly example of God's love, and just her ministry is caregiving, caretaking. She just, oh my gosh, she's so precious. She's so gracious. And so I watch how she deals with others, even when people don't deal kindly with her. Because, see, I don't all the way do too well, but mom does. I'm like, wow. I've even asked her some questions like, mom, so when such and such, so and so, why do you, honey, I don't let that get to me. They ain't going, you know, their cantankerous spirit ain't going to get me down. I just pray for them and I just go. That's beautiful. And while I'm while I'm like, okay, I'm on that journey. I'm not fully there, but I'm yet pressing my way. She's another laborer of the Lord that I can just watch her. So there's others in your context with whatever the Lord has given you to do. We consult with one another. I have the opportunity to be a business officer for an agricultural and natural resources program. So y'all know this entire growth series. I'm like, because I'm literally drawing the parallel. And to this point of consulting with other laborers, I sit in their meetings and the ag educators, they go, hey, I'm having trouble getting this crop to grow. Hey, can you come help me? Yeah, well, all you have to do is, okay, well, if you don't have that much space to grow your tomatoes this way, we can trellis it up and da-da-da-da. And what are they doing? They're consulting. Oh, great, thanks, because I couldn't get my site to grow. And I'm trying to do demonstrations and classes. And what I'm trying to demonstrate is not coming forth. That's not really a good example. So what are they doing? They're conferring with one another. And we, like, so should do the same. Now, in addition to these other things, there is a book called A Heart Like Jesus. It is by Max Lucado. And here's just a couple of opening questions for yourself, right? To look, what if for one day and night, Jesus lives your life with his heart? Like, you know, maybe you see a movie where people switch roles and one is living the other's life and all that. That's the idea here. With Jesus taking over your heart, which he should already have. I thought about that. I was like, well, shouldn't he have already? But okay, we'll go with it. Would anything change? Right? So if we're needing assistance in getting to be more compassionate, more like Jesus, please, I hope you're taking pictures. I do see phones, so I'm happy about that. For you online folks, hopefully it's showing for you. If it's not, just inbox us, say resources, and I'll send it to you. Then our next one is a book by the wonderful. If you have not read this book, in terms of emotional well-being and the embodied garden and how God just did that, I could go on and on. I won't, but you need this book. I'm just going to say you need it. Couple of quotes. If having an expression emotions wasn't a sin for Jesus, then it's not a sin for you. And I know that can be a tough thing. Emotions have their place. They are not our leaders, but emotions can be helpful and informing us. We learned that earlier. It can help us in the compassion piece. Feeling isn't failing because Jesus never failed, right? So we're putting tools in your toolbox. These are resources. Please, 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 please take pictures. And, oh, for those of you who are in the sanctuary, I do have those books here available. So if you're like, oh, I'm kind of curious about that, you can come peek before you commit to the buy, because I know things are, yeah. You want to make sure it's really all that jiggy, and it is, so you can come. are the kids still saying that these days? They're not. the kids from my era, we're not kids. Our next resource is Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. This is, again, on our emotional well-being that tells us that it is impossible to try to be all spiritually powerful, and your emotional level is like that of a child or an infant. No shade. They have plenty of resources. You can do a self-test. You can see where you are on this scale and then work from there, okay? And then our next one is in the same series, but it's relationships, right? So not just romantic, but just how to relate, emotionally healthy, relating to one another, to other people. And here's a quote that I mentioned earlier. It says, Jesus linked our ability to love people with our ability to bear witness to him in the world. And that's John 13:35. They said, they'll know that you're my disciples by how well you love. Let me pray for you. Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the challenge. Thank you for the laughter, even in the middle. You know that laughter is like good medicine. But God, continue to work on our hearts. Continue to show us how we can be more compassionate, how we can be more loving, how we can be more like you, and how we can let others know that you are real and that you want them, that you love them, that we love them, that they are seen, that they are heard, that they are valued, that they are an image bearer of you, who made us, God our creator. So Jesus, we thank you. Keep us all safe as we go to our various destinations. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.